Listen to God's word this day. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people with the will of God. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed in the inner image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. And who then is the one who condemns? No one. Because Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. And who shall separate from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake, we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No. In all this stuff and in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither heights nor depth, nor anything or anyone else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. May God add blessing to the reading of his holy word, and all God's people said, Lord, anoint these words, may they be your words. And may we always remember this sermon is not just for anyone out in front of me. It's for me too. All of us together. We are more than conquerors because of your Spirit. In Jesus' name, I pray these things. Amen. So, Carol Shirley, who none of us know from Adam, but she made her mark in the world. At 26, she started working for Manpower Incorporated, a temporary services firm, which is the nation's largest private sector employer, and has been so since September 1995. Originally hired as a service rep assistant, she became an ardent advocate for welfare recipients who wanted to work. And the Milwaukee Central office is, and still is now, I did some checking, it's in less than a ritzy area on the outskirts of the downtown business district. And the office had been looking to hire, at that point, university students in 95, but Carol took a chance on the area's down and outers. She interacted with men and women, young and old. She saw people struggling to survive. That's when something began to stir within this daughter of wealthy Milwaukee parents. I got convicted of the Holy Spirit, and I wanted to do something no matter what the consequences, she said. Well, friends, along with Manpower's effective training techniques, Carol added a personal touch. She spent serious time with each client, helping them develop soft skills, and she taught them about the etiquette needed in the business world. Invaluable stuff. She wrote resumes and lent needy clients money from her own pocket, activities which certainly ran counter to Manpower's official policies. At times, she borrowed from her parents to cover the personal loans she made to clients. She even invited some of them to her church, Christian Faith Fellowship. Well, guess what? her compassion paid off, literally. People started coming in droves to her for business. Her office net profits rose by 300% in 1 year. She recruited 80 clients from her own congregation alone, where she is referred to today as Sister Carol. Many of Shirley's recruits found full-time employment and became self-sufficient. She worked hard, sometimes from 7 a.m. to 3 a.m. I can imagine how her sleep cycle was, but that's a whole different question. The next morning. And she failed to do this collecting overtime. She didn't want any overtime pay. Late at night, Carol would walk around the office and pray for her clients. In fact, she prayed all the time, asking God for wisdom. Romans 8:28, her favorite verse, was a constant reminder, all things work together for the good of them who love God. Her computer screensavers, customized with blended biblical phrases like, I am more than a conqueror and all things are possible, also helped her focus on God's strength. All right, friends, we might not all have a business like Carol Shirley or be in any company like that, but she is an ordinary person in an ordinary place in an ordinary time, simply moved by the Holy Spirit to do something. And Jesus calls us, each of us, to do that for those we meet, anywhere, everywhere, to allow ourselves to be moved by the Holy Spirit to do something for anyone, anywhere. But before we can do any of that, we must hold in our hearts a true reality, which we must believe and embrace. Believe and embrace. We are more than conquerors. Now that's more than saying, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength, Philippians 4:13, right? To conquer something, of course, means to gain, to win, or obtain by effort, personal appeal, to surmount, to overcome. Friends, being a conqueror takes a great deal of work. I think we'd all agree on that, right? It takes hard work, deep work, and sometimes very long work. It's associated with a battle, a struggle of some kind. It's working at something many would say, you just can't do it, you just can't beat this, you won't beat this. But with God through Jesus Christ, our faith must allow our inner being to say, we are not just conquerors of this, right? But we are more than conquerors of whatever crosses our path in this life as we prepare for the next. Wow, that's a lot to consider. Individually, all of us have struggle. As a church, we all face struggle. We wonder how we can still, in this pandemic time, reach out to our community. How can we each be that living presence of Black Rock Church? How can we support our outreach ministry when the funds may be limited? How can we sing in our hearts, even if our times together we can't sing? How can we navigate state requirements if we're not feeling them ourselves? How can we serve a denomination which, in many cases, is very split on several different topics? How can we be a presence to each other in an election which seems volatile on all levels, where the polarization seems divisive the minute you bring it up? Which is why that's it you'll hear this morning. Friends, we are and must embrace the fact we are more than conquerors as a church because of him who loved us. In the church and as Christians, we have a wonderful tool to help us, the love of Christ, who offers that gift of hope and salvation to the world. And that tool makes us more than conquerors. It's all in how we look at things, though. I think of that hammer being large. I wonder how many of you would be okay if I picked up a hammer and started nailing things. I'm not sure we would think that we were all more than conquerors at that time. But nails, friends, are small. The hammer is large. That hammer can nail things in, and we are, in fact, more than conquerors because of Jesus holding us in place firmly. I like this old saying, if the only tool you have is a hammer, you tend to see every problem as a nail. We must use our tool of Christ and His love, friends, knowing we have the help we need to get through whatever. But we also need other inner help, like Carol Shirley did. We need to feel the movement of the Holy Spirit in our hearts, in our midst, in our denomination, in our election, to help us, to groan with us, to struggle with us, to still get the message out there of Jesus. The Holy Spirit searches our hearts. What does the Holy Spirit find in yours, in mine? Are we getting over these guidelines? Are we praying, as our passage says, according to the will of God, that He will get us through it all? And then to be more than a conqueror, we have to remember where we come from, to whom we belong. God called us, anoints us, each of us, to be His people, to be His disciples in the world. And to God be the glory, He didn't leave us alone. As our last gathering song said, right? We'll never walk alone. Thank you, Mike, for picking that out for us this morning. God is able to work all things for good because He knows our struggles. And since Christ struggled, we can be lifted up on His more than conquering shoulders in all we do and all we go through because of all He is and all He's done. You hear me say that a lot, friends, but do we believe that? Are we ministering, each of us, because of that? Or are we doing it because, well, it's a job where we're supposed to? Because if we are doing the latter, it'll never work. How can we expect to draw people to a church or to our denomination or to the sense of needing Christ if we don't believe it ourselves? So, all of that more than conquering stuff from Paul is nice, from his lips to our ears. But we must believe that conquering spirit. Can we look in the 21st century, see the problems of our day, and say, yes, there's a way through it? Can we face the reality of the church and say, yes, God has us right where we're supposed to be? We might not do everything we used to do, but the Holy Spirit and the love of Jesus is still fresh for us, each of us and all of us. There's people in need, people searching, groaning. There's problems for us of all kinds, unclear future, a possible rebound of the COVID-19 pandemic, health challenges, you name it. I've been aware of that in the last 3+ months, with so many transitioning and struggling of all kinds here at church and beyond. You know, if we're looking for a time when problems go away on the earth, you hear me say this a lot too, we'll be waiting a very long time. It's not happening. But what if we thought about it this way? The problems are there, but so are the blessings. The pains are many, but so are the pleasures. This life's passion can often be dulled, but God's purposes are still there. God has us right where we're supposed to be, and we can be more than conquerors of it all through Him who loved us. I'll never forget when I was in my valley between jobs in 2011 and 2014, a church reached out to me and allowed me to be choir director. Okay, it didn't pay a lot, but it didn't matter. At least I was still in ministry. And several people, friends, encouraged me there would be a door that would open. And you wouldn't think that meant much. It was just a small prayer, a small hope, but I would have been consumed without those people. Those gifts forming my hammer of Jesus, allowing me to find a way through the storm, the blast, the darkness. And friends, where is Christ forming that hammer for you? Where is He allowing us as a church to find the hammer, to be more than a conqueror of the nails which are in our lives? I love the movie Braveheart. How many have heard that? You can just say I. Yes. And in that 1995 movie, William Wallace, played by Mel Gibson. I just listened to this movie a couple weeks ago. My friend Nick Maton asked me to do that. And it demonstrates not just winning and losing in a battle, right? But when he's up on the stage being stretched out before his execution in the form of beheading, as was the custom in that day, just before they kill him, they ask him, "Will you bow to the king?" They ask him that twice. And then as the crowd is quieted and the prisoner has something to say, you think he's just going to say, "No, I'm not." Instead, what does he cry? Freedom! And friends, that's the freedom Christ offers to his followers. For us to scream that in our hearts every time we come up against something which seems impossible. We are free, more than conquerors. God predestined, called, justified, and glorified us, being the firstborn in our hearts. And we have the power to follow Christ and make our mark in ordinary places, in this ordinary time, in this church and beyond these walls, with neighbors and strangers, in health and in sickness, in life and in death. We are more than conquerors through him, because of him who loves us so very much. So yes, we might be a small congregation in a small denomination, serving in a time when the church, congregationally or denominationally, may seem not just small, but irrelevant. But if God's for us, who can be against us? In the same way in life, when all seems to go wrong, when we come across people who think everything's bad, are we more than conquerors of that attitude because of what we hold so dear? Do we truly feel God for us enough so we can, as Isaiah 1:17 says, learn to do right, search justice, defend the oppressed, take up the cause of the fatherless, plead the case of the widow? Can we smile with all those people who say everything's bad and tell them, you know, we're here and together we're going to conquer because God is more than a conqueror with us? As I always say, I wish God weren't for some people. I wish he weren't. But I don't get to choose. I can't fix others as much as I might want to. I can only walk with God myself and come closer to him and pray others through me would feel that attitude in some small way. If my friends or family or people who want to debate say I'm wrong, okay, I'll be wrong in their eyes. And I don't have to justify why I feel the way I do. I can just relax and let it go and share what we do share in common. Because God will conquer even our disagreements, friends, of all kinds, and loves us so very much. You, I, and them, the persons we might be arguing with, we're together, not apart. God, through word and action, does the talking through our lives and our hearts and works, dear friends, as the Holy Spirit moves. As Christians, we must not use the Bible or Christ as something to slam down people's throats. Likely, we'll turn the other person off if we even possibly want to do that. And coming to church or the idea of a God or following Jesus, why would they want to do that if we slam stuff on them? Rather, we must smile and gently show Jesus love, offer compassion, and help others know we'll get through this together. These guidelines of COVID-19, these problems, these finances, these struggles of any kind, we are more than conquerors of it all. And I love our last section of scripture. Isn't it interesting? It doesn't require much explanation, but it's powerful nonetheless. You know, if I said to you or to somebody else, or you said this, you're going to struggle all day long. Where's the comfort in that? You're going to struggle all day long. But there it is, right? In Romans 8:36. But it's a hearkening back to Psalm 44:22, when David is describing to the Israelites the times in which they're living before the Babylonian exile. But Paul raises it to remind the Romans sometimes we're going to feel like we're slaughtered all day long in some cases. Life just will be that way. The passage tells us that. And I really have a tough time with it. The fact is, some don't struggle, right? Some have privilege of all kinds. But when I think about it, all of us, well, we struggle. Okay, that struggle looks different for people, but we all struggle. And that struggle isn't going away. My heart especially goes out to children these days. I'm sure you all feel the same. I think we can all safely ask God, can you hear the prayer of the children aching for home in these days? Can you hear the prayer of the children searching for a better day, crying, Jesus, help us to see the morning light of one more day? And if we should die before we wake, we pray our souls you would take. Can we hear, friends, the prayer of the children aching for home and for something of their very own, reaching hands with nothing to hold on to but hope for a better day, crying, Jesus, help me, help us to feel the love again in our own land. And if unknown roads lead away from home, give us loving arms, safe from harm. Lord, can we hear the voice of the children softly pleading for silence in our shattered world? Angry guns preach a gospel full of hate, but the blood of the innocent is on their hands, crying, Jesus, Lord, help us to feel the sun again upon our face. For when darkness clears, we know you're near, bringing peace once again. We are, as Christians, friends, those children, all of us, God's children today. We know we face persecution. We should expect it. The struggle is real. It's not going away, but we are more than conquerors through him who loves us. Nothing shall be able to separate us from that love, not any evil force whatsoever, as the passage lists. Heights, depths, persecution, you name it, it's all there. So friends, I invite you to just simply say the phrase, I am more than a conqueror. Let's say that together. I am more than a conqueror. Let's hear it again. I am more than a conqueror. Say it when you're struggling. Say it when you're tired. Say it when you can't see a short-term solution or a long-term resolution right now. This week, say it when something doesn't happen the way you want. I am more than a conqueror. We are more than conquerors through God in Christ Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit, through him who loves us so very much. Friends, while those might be nice thoughts for the inner self as an earthly human, as Christians, such an attitude will never work, because only through Christ we are more than conquerors of it all. We cannot go through this world alone. We can barely do it with somebody at our side. So as we close, I'd like to share someone wrote a Christian answer to Invictus, and it goes like this. Out of the light that dazzles me, bright is the sun from pole to pole. I thank the God I know to be, for Christ, the conqueror of my soul. Since he's the sway of circumstance, I would not wince nor cry aloud. Under that rule which people call chance, my head with joy is humbly bowed. Beyond this place of sin and tears, that life with him, and he's the aid. That spite diminished of the years keeps and shall keep me unafraid. It matters not, though straight the gate, he cleared from punishments the scroll. Christ is the master of my fate. Christ is the captain of my soul. So friends, if God's for us, who can be against us? We've got the Holy Spirit to groan with us. We've got Christ who struggled before us. The problems and pains are so many, but the purposes and pleasures of God will triumph. With his help, we shall overcome. We shall all be free. We shall live in peace. We are more than conquerors. Shall we pray? Dear Lord, sometimes the roads seem so long and the paths unclear, and yet the blessings are still so many. You lead us through it all. You guide us in the waters and the straight places. You somehow straighten out the crooks. You make the valleys somehow be mountains. Lord, ignite us to be people, your people, Christ's people, messengers of your gospel, offering of salvation to the world, a gift that would allow people to say, yes, there is a purpose for for my life. And there is a hope I can find in the church and especially in you, Lord. Grant us the opportunity to believe and embrace ourselves and help others to believe we are more than conquerors. And because of that, truly, by your grace, we shall overcome. We shall all be free, and we shall live in peace. To God be the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. So friends, I would invite you this week to feel that strength, to be uncomfortable with the comfortable, to embrace the challenges, to say, I am with God more than a conqueror. I am more than a conqueror because of Jesus and what he's done for you and for me and for all of us. And we again want to remind ourselves we are more than conquerors because of the gift of Jesus Christ, that priceless gift allowing us to overcome, to be free, and to live in peace together with him always at our side. Truly, we shall overcome.